The Pentagon broke a couple of federal laws when it swapped Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl for five Taliban leaders. That's according to the Government Accountability Office. For details, we're joined by Edda Emanuele Perez, the Managing Associate General Counsel at GAO. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So tell us the origin of this investigation. Who asked GAO to look at these legalities surrounding the Bergdahl exchange?
Well, we received the request for the opinion from nine members of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Senators Mitch McConnell, Richard Shelby, Thad Cochran, Dan Coats, Lindsey Graham, Lamar Alexander, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Roy Blunt.
Okay, and so what is it that you found?
Well, what we found was that DOD is authorized to transfer individuals detained at Guantanamo Bay, provided that the secretary makes a very specific determination under the law and also provides notification to certain congressional committees, and that notification has to be 30 days in advance. Their Appropriations Act also reinforces this requirement by saying that DOD may not use any appropriated funds to effectuate these transfers unless they follow the section in the Authorization Act. What we found here was that DOD did transfer five individuals from Guantanamo Bay, but did not provide notice 30 days in advance. And therefore, there were no funds then available for this transfer, and so they violated the Anti-Deficiency Act.
So, in effect, they violated the 2014 appropriations and authorization bills for DOD, and in doing that, they knocked themselves into the Anti-Deficiency Act.
That's correct.
Well, so what does that all mean? I mean, the law was broken, according to GAO. Have you gotten any response from the Defense Department yet, which is stands accused here?
Well, we asked DOD for their views prior to issuing our opinion. That's the way that we issue these opinions, is we get their views ahead of time. So we haven't heard anything from them since the issuance of the opinion. What happens now is that one of the things that we state in our opinion is that DOD should report this violation of the Anti-Deficiency Act in accordance with the law. So that would be the next thing I would expect to hear from DOD.
But to violate the Anti-Deficiency Act requires some individual to have violated, right? And it's a pretty serious violation going back some decades. So any idea which individual it would be? Would it be the Secretary of Defense?
I don't know what individuals would be identified. What is required under the Anti-Deficiency Act is that the agency has to identify the individuals involved who are responsible. They have to identify the circumstances involving the violation and what steps they're taking with respect to that violation. So that would be part of the reporting requirement, would be to identify individuals responsible.
So at what point, how far does GAO, can you really go in enforcing, now that you've found this finding? Doesn't it require somebody else to go ahead and see if there's enforceable action to happen?
Well, that's correct, that GAO does not have enforcement authority. So we've recommended here that DOD go ahead and report the violation of the Anti-Deficiency Act. So now it's really up to the executive branch to report the violation. And then, of course, Congress can, through its oversight and appropriations power, also take action.
Now, the people that asked you this and were all the Republican members, did the Democratic members have any comment or any request also in this regard?
The Democratic members did not join this request, and we have not spoken to them.
Okay. Now, I want to just ask you a detail here. When it says in your summary, you asked DOD for its legal views on the application of Section 8111. That's part of the that was the appropriations language that prevented the transfer without 30 days notice. And it said it looks like the DOD gave sort of convoluted reasoning for its going ahead with this. What was your thought on that?
Well, DOD had two main arguments. One is they emphasized that the actual transfer was legitimate under the Authorization Act and that the notice requirement didn't stand on equal footing with the determination requirement. We found that that argument was unpersuasive. First of all, there's nothing in the statutory language of either the Authorization Act or the Appropriations Act that speaks to the weight of the provisions. It clearly states that there's a notification requirement, and we felt that to read it otherwise would really render that notification requirement meaningless. So we were persuaded by the clear statement in the law. The other thing that DOD argued was that there were constitutional concerns, including separation of powers. What we responded to that is that when legislation has been passed by Congress, it's been signed by the president, in our view that satisfies the constitutional requirements of bicameralism and presentment, and so therefore we give it a heavy presumption of constitutionality, and so we don't have the jurisdiction to decide if it was unconstitutional or not.
All right. So, I mean, there are certainly political disagreements over the Bergdahl incident. We've heard about those, and we're not going to get into that. But, Gio, you seem to be pretty clear on the legal facts. So once DOD were they to go ahead and identify individuals, what would the legal process be at that point?
Well, under the Anti-Deficiency Act, there are administrative penalties for employees who are responsible for violations. That could include suspension without pay or removal from the job. There are also criminal penalties for knowing and willful violations, but that's up to the Department of Justice to determine and to prosecute. If anyone were convicted of an Anti-Deficiency Act violation, they could be subject to a fine of not more than $5,000 or imprisonment for 2 years.
Well, that's pretty heavy. I mean, even though you are using somebody else's money to be deficient, has that happened in your knowledge in recent years?
We're not aware of any actual indictments or convictions under the Anti-Deficiency Act, but it's really up to the Department of Justice to carry those functions out.
Sure. Also, in your opinion, you found you cited a Secret Service case or
yes.
Parallel here. Tell us about that one.
Well, in that situation, there was a requirement in the Appropriations Act that before the Secret Service utilized a certain amount of funds, they had to notify Congress that they were going to reprogram those funds. And what happened was there, they went ahead and reprogrammed funds to use them for those purposes and didn't notify Congress until several months later. So what we found there was that because they had not followed the specific requirement in the appropriations law, the funds were not available, and so they also violated the Anti-Deficiency Act.
We're speaking with Etta Emanuele Perez. She's Managing Associate General Counsel at the Government Accountability Office. By the way, that means you're a lawyer, right?
That's correct.
How often, in general, I mean, does Congress ask for this type of specific legal opinion about a matter that happens in the White House or the federal bureaucracy?
We receive probably between 4 to 5 opinions a year that are requested from Congress. It depends on the year, but this particular year we've had about 4 or 5 that we've been working on.
And so have you found violations of law in other cases? I mean, who do they involve, if you can recall them off the top of your head? And did you find that in fact there had been violations of law?
We found a couple where we actually held that there was not a violation of law, and we've also found others where there have been. Those involving the Anti-Deficiency Act, one example would be certain volunteer services that were provided to the Department of Treasury, and in that situation we found that they had violated another prohibition of the Anti-Deficiency Act as well.
So that sounds like something from the 19th century, but the Anti-Deficiency Act is still pretty much alive and with us.
It is. It is a law that goes back to the 19th century, but it is really the cornerstone of the appropriations law framework for the federal government.
And I guess just speaking generally, it's probably a good idea for all agencies to review this outside of whatever political implications there might be in a particular situation. But with the age of continuing resolutions, agencies can come close to anti-deficiency situations if they're not careful.
Well, certainly agencies should always be careful to look very carefully at their appropriation law requirements in their own acts and also with respect to continuing resolutions to see if there are any particular prohibitions or requirements there.
All right. Well, Emanuele Perez is the Managing Associate General Counsel at GAO. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.